The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
We're talking about spiritual warfare. Yes, we're in a battle. We're fighting the good fight. It's a good fight because we win. That's part of this thing. Now, I've talked about the origin of the enemy. I've talked about our enemy is well organized. We looked at Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. He's very well organized, but he is the head, and they all do what he does. And we need to understand our enemy. We talked about that. The Chinese military general, strategist, Sun Tzu, wrote a book in the 4th or 5th century, and this was one of his quotes, "If you know the enemy and know yourself, you need not fear the results of 100 battles." Now, I don't fear the results of 100 battles because Sun Tzu said that. I do not fear the results of 100 battles, 1,000 battles, 10,000 battles, because God is on my side. Amen? And he's on your side. We need not fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and love, and a sound mind. Whew. Hallelujah. I speak that over this congregation. You have a sound mind. Yes. In Jesus' name. Yes. The enemy will not steal that from you. That's a tactic of the enemy. So we looked at the tactics of the enemy. We looked at the fact that the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that he is a liar, and he's the father of lies. So for all of us in the kingdom of God, we need to understand this. Anytime that we see killing, stealing, destroying, lying, whether it's in our families, in our church, in our community, in our nation, in the world, I can guarantee you the author of that is Satan. That's his desire. Our God is a God of love and peace and compassion and mercy, and he desires for his people to be about his business and prosper in the things that they do. Amen? Now, I'm not telling you I'm not trying to say we won't have problems and issues. We do. This is a life, this natural life. Things happen in your life. The enemy is trying to cause things to happen in your life. But I want you to stand on the Word of God. All things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to his purpose. Amen? Paul spoke that. You know what? Paul was in prison when he said that. So was that a nice, wonderful place for him? You know, he wasn't in some mansion sitting in his hot tub drinking champagne. He was in a prison. And, in that particular time, it wasn't necessarily one of those dark, damp prisons, but he was confined to his quarters. He didn't have the freedom to come and go as he pleased. And yet Paul said, all things will work together for the good of those who love the Lord. Why? Because he knew that it was working out for his good and for the good of the church. We can trust that, even when we don't understand it. I'm going to talk to you this morning. This is the fourth principle, my fourth point in this message. Believers must engage in the battle. Ephesians 6, 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We need to know who our real enemy is. Our enemy is not people. The enemy manipulates, controls, and causes people to do things. But our enemy is not people. I read this little story about it. A soldier who was a private, and he was assigned to guard the gate of a private meeting was going on in the military. And he was given specific orders. Do not allow anybody to come in here that doesn't have a sticker on their windshield. Well, he was there for a little while, and along pulled up. Here came a black sedan, pulled up, and he went up, and there was a corporal, rolled down the window, and he said, "This is General Wilson. We're going to this meeting." And a private said, "I'm sorry, sir, but I'm not allowed to let anybody in this meeting who doesn't have a sticker on their window, and you don't have one." He said, the general from the back seat said, "Drive on, corporal." The private said, "No, I'm serious. I was told to shoot anyone who tried to cross this line." General said, "Drive on, corporal." The young man pulled the gun from his holster, and of course, he was very nervous. He was shaking. And he pointed it at the driver. And the general rolled the window down. Then he pointed it to general. And he pointed it back and forth, nervous. You know, everybody was nervous at this point. Finally, he said, "General, you got to help me. I'm new at this. Do I shoot you or the driver?" Well, we get a little concerned sometimes when we in the church, we're not sure who to blame for the things that are happening. Do we blame people or do we blame the enemy? We blame who's behind it, who's sitting back in the back seat that's really driving this vehicle. In our society, the one that's really driving this vehicle is not the president, not the Congress, not our senators, not our political leaders. The one who's really driving is the one that we need to focus on. And that's our enemy. Because he's trying. Now, not in every case. We have some godly people in office who are trying to do right things. But this is a world system. And Paul made it very clear to us that Satan is in charge of this world system. So unless it is actively bombarded with prayer, actively confronted with righteousness and moral compass that comes from the Bible, from the Word of God, our society will continue to deteriorate. That's why we're so important. You are. I am. The whole church is very important to our society. Pray, believers. I believe we're walking on the spiritual blessings of the prayers of our forefathers. For years, they've prayed and prayed. Grandmothers and mothers praying in their prayer closets. Men who took time set aside to pray, fast, and seek the living God. Their prayers are the only reason that we have the freedom we have today. We can't let down. We cannot allow ourselves to allow the enemy to have more stronghold in our society. As we look at this, wrestle means to engage actively in one-on-one combat. Now, I want you to understand something. When Paul wrote this, the sport of wrestling, and there was one called pancration, it was especially brutal. But the sport of wrestling is not the same kind of sport that we know. You know, where two guys get in a ring and are on a mat and they try to pin one another. The sport of wrestling in that day was a brutal sport. Many times people died. Much of the time, the loser ended up dying. Once there was a man by the name of Icon Feliglia. He actually won a wrestling match or a pancration match at the Olympic Games in spite of the fact that he was dead. What had happened was that the gentleman that he was wrestling against got him in a chokehold and was choking him so much that it was choking him to death. He was so desperate that he somehow got a hold of this guy's ankle and broke it, twisted it and broke it. But it wasn't in time. When the referee grabbed the man's hand, Filaglia, and held up, it was limp because he was already dead. But he was hailed as a hero because he actually won the match. This is the kind of thing that we're talking about. When we talk about wrestling, we got to get our minds off of this modern day wrestling thing. This is warfare that Paul is talking about. So in order to be successful and engage in this battle, we must be prepared. And there's some things that I want to talk about. First of all, we want to talk about having the proper dress on. Not dress as in a woman's dress, the proper attire. We want to make sure that we have the proper attire on daily. And Paul gives us a great list of those things. Ephesians 6, beginning with verse 13. And he says, therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. Okay, I'm going to stop right there because I'm going to come back to this verse later on in this overall message, which I know I'm not going to finish today, but we're getting a good start on it. I will eventually come back to this verse because standing is very important. Having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. I'm going to stop right there because I believe that's probably as far as we'll get. So in order to successfully engage the enemy, I believe we have to have this battle attire or battle armor on in order to be very successful. When Paul was writing this in Romans, he was probably standing or sitting right beside of a Roman soldier that was guarding him. So he had a very good understanding of the weapons. In his lifetime, that Roman soldiers were everywhere. They walked the streets. They patrolled on behalf of Caesar. And Paul was very familiar with the things that he's talking about. He describes six pieces of armor, combat gear, that is essential for the believer to put on. Now, this is something that we have to put on daily. You know, you take your gear off only when you rest. And sometimes soldiers didn't even do that. Be ready. You be prepared. So the first thing that he tells us about is the belt of truth. The belt of truth that was something that went around the loins. It was firmly buckled around your waist. It was easy for the soldiers to be able to fasten it. It had to go on first. They carried a lot of equipment with that. But what Paul is speaking to us in regards to the belt of truth is the idea that we need to recognize that truth is the only thing that is going to keep us on the straight and narrow. That the truth of God is the only thing that we have to hold on to. It's easy in this culture that we live in today to become infiltrated by the system. And not as strong and faithful as we need to be. The truth can be watered down very easily, and we can get to the place where we begin to believe things that the world teaches. In fact, You know, right now, the big thing that, one of the major things is evolution. Everywhere you look, evolution is being taught. It's being taught in our schools. You watch TV programs, they talk about evolution. They talk about evolution just about in news articles, magazines. You hear it everywhere and all places, as if it's a reality. But it's a theory. They forget that it's a theory. The theory of evolution, it's made up, and there's no basis to it. Where in reality, the only thing that is real is the Word of God. I want you to understand something. This is very important, because if you're going to believe in evolution, you're not going to believe in the Bible, in the Word of God, because right in the beginning, it says that God created all things, earth, heaven and earth, in 7 literal days. He gives us morning and evening, evening and morning, 24-hour periods. There's no way you can get millions and billions of years out of that. For mankind on this earth, we know that it's about 6,000 to 10,000 years, probably closer to 6. And that's going to be biblical fulfillment, because that 7,000 year is the 7th. It's like the 7 days in the week, the 7 years of the Shemitah. That 7,000 years is going to usher in the return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It fits together. It's awesome. It's incredible what our God has put into place and how He has shown us. Look, it's all here. All you got to do is look at it, believe it, and understand it. The Roman soldier's armor, the Roman soldier put this around his waist. It was a wide belt that protected his loins. There was a loop for different swords. There was loops for ropes and ration sacks, and he would sometimes use that ration sack. He'd empty out his rations and gather loot from the enemy. This was a very important part of the Roman soldier's attire, because at his waist was the weapons that he needed, or the material that he needed to fight the battle properly. It was there. Truth will keep your loins in place. Truth will keep your body in place. Truth will keep your life in place. It will keep you on the right track. Where do we get truth? Truth is here. This is the ultimate and the only truth that we should have. Now, I'm not saying you can't read anything else, but the things that you read must line up with this. The things that you believe. Otherwise, you will go astray. You'll follow the culture rather than following the Lord. The Lord's desire is for you to trust in this thing. This is real. It's powerful. With the Roman soldier, much of the protection that he had depended on that truth, that belt being in place. Psalms verse 119, verse 60, he says this: "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." Jesus said to the Jews, he said this, those that believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed." And of course, he said this in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Truth is what it's all about. If someone came to you secretly and said, "Listen, I found this book. It's ancient manuscripts. And in it, there is everything you need to live a prosperous, healthy, successful life. And he offered it to you. Would you take it? You may not necessarily believe it, but you at least give it the time of day to look at it, check it out, and see what it had to say. Well, you have such a book. You probably have more than one book just like that in your house. These are ancient manuscripts that are handed down from through the eons of time, through godly men who are inspired by the Holy Spirit to give us God's word so that we have the right truth to live by. Those are exciting. This is an exciting principle that people just absolutely don't catch on. You know, the truth is, recently there was a survey that was taken, and less than 20% of Christians read their Bible on a regular basis. This thing can change your life. And I say that from experience. I say that from a guy who was out of control with drugs and alcohol, a guy who was on the verge of divorce, a guy whose life was just totally and completely out of control and going in the wrong direction. And when I received Christ as my personal Savior and I received direction, not just receiving Christ, that was awesome and it changed my thinking, but then my thinking was transformed by reading the Word of God. You know, I try my best to memorize Scripture. It's not, I hate these guys that all they have to do is read it one time and they got it. I can't do that. I have to go over it and over it and over it. I get on my zero-turn mower and I put a Scripture under my leg and I just drive around reciting that Scripture over and over and over and over again because I want it in my heart. I know how powerful it is. It has changed my life. It's changed my family. It's changed my direction. It's given me hope for the future. It's shown me that God has more for me than just normal, everyday life, whatever that might be. I don't know about you, but I find life to be an exciting thing. Because we're living for the King. And His kingdom is stirred in us. Hallelujah. Now listen, I say things like that, but you all know, I'm just like the rest of you. I go through those times where I say, God, what is up? What's going on here? Why are we not moving forward? Why do I feel this way? He reminds me, son, it's not about feelings. It's not about how you feel. If it was about your feelings, then this church or this kingdom of God would be on a roller coaster. Because if it was about my feelings, I'd be up here one day and down the next. Up here, down. You know, because that's emotions. That's what they do to you. That's why when you're down, you got to get up. You got to pull yourself up and you got to say, listen, self, if you have to, look in the mirror and say, self, God is on the throne. This is a day the Lord hath made. Greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. You are more than a conqueror. So you know the scriptures that I use. I have to look at self because self has to do something. David said, when he was in a bad situation, he said, I had to encourage myself in the Lord. And he did. Everybody was against him, but he encouraged himself in the Lord. That's awesome. That's what we have to do. Hallelujah. Breastplate of righteousness is the next thing. The Romans had the idea for this. Their design was to provide a lightweight attachment to the belt so that this breastplate would cover the chest area. And of course, their idea was to protect the heart Because we all know that the heart is the key organ for pumping blood. Pierce the heart, you kill the person. No doubt about that. When we walk in the righteousness of our God, our Lord, with a true and pure heart. Now, righteousness is not in and of you. Your righteousness comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. So what we recognize, this weapon is a weapon of defense. It protects us. This righteousness, this breastplate of righteousness, it protects our heart. And our heart is so important because out of the heart, the mouth speaks. The issues of life are in your heart. The truth that you really and truly believe is in the heart. Matthew 12, 34, Jesus was talking to Pharisees and he said, "You brood of vipers." Everybody thinks Jesus was really nice and kind all the time. When he encountered somebody that was off track, trying to hurt and manipulate other people, he spoke clearly to them. And he said, "You bunch of snakes. I see you slithering around here. How can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks." He was talking about what was really inside of them. He told us the good man out of the good treasures of his heart brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasures brings forth evil things. In Matthew 15, 19, "For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." It's what's in our heart. Remember who you are in Christ. You're going to make mistakes. There's no doubt about it. That's why you can carry that breastplate of righteousness every day with you, knowing that you are righteous in Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not giving you a license to sin. I'm telling you, if you make mistakes, the enemy is going to try his best to beat you down. He's going to accuse you. He's the accuser of the brethren, and he's going to lie, and he's going to do his best to depress you. "Oh, I'm just so horrible. I made this mistake. I've done this wrong." But Jesus is on your side. You have the blood of Jesus. Plead that blood. Run to the cross. Run to that blood that Jesus has provided for you. And repent and mean it. And get it straightened out. I'm not telling you you can go live any life, any kind of way you want to live, and still please God. No, I'm telling you, there's remission for sin. There's blood that has been shed for you. Praise God for that. So how tenacious are you about seeking God? How concerned are you about your daily life and walk with the Lord Jesus Christ? That's what I'm trying to stir in you this morning with this series of messages. I want you to know that God has given us all that we need defensively and offensively to accomplish what he's called us to be victorious in every area of our life. But are you serious about it? I want to call you to a new and higher commitment to serve Jesus Christ. Stand with me. Praise God. One of my favorite stories is one about a young Texas boy by the name of Caleb. Caleb loved wrestling, and he was a small kid, wasn't really that athletic, but he had a big heart. He really wanted to be a wrestler. He really decided that he was going to do this thing. So he tried out for the team, and this was a small West Texas school, so everybody that tried out got to be part of the team. And he talked to the coach, and he told the coach how much he really wanted to be a wrestler. And the coach, you know, he was on board with him. He knew he didn't necessarily have all the skills that some have. But he knew that this young man had a big heart. So the first year, he didn't do so well. He had to learn some things. And the second year, he started winning some meets. The third year, because he was just tenacious. He never gave up. The third year, he really started winning some wrestling matches. And the coach said it wasn't that he was that talented. It's just that he would never give up. He would think he was pinned, and all of a sudden, Caleb would come out of it, and he would pin the other guy. He won every match that year. He got to go to the state championship. His first match was against a three-time champion, state champion. So the coach, he didn't say anything, but he knew his chances were not good. But Caleb, you know, he knew also he had a big heart. So he got out there, and man, sure enough, this guy grabbed him and twisted him up and threw him in the mat, and he was on top of him just like that. And the coach couldn't stand it. He turned his head, and he had his head turned because he didn't want to see him get beat. He loved this kid. And suddenly the crowd went crazy, and he looked back, and Caleb was on top of this guy and had him pinned. Caleb jumped up and ran over. He said, "I won, coach. I won. I won. I won." He said, "Yeah, I know. I know, but I thought you were going to get beat, and I couldn't bear to watch it. What happened?" And he said, "Well, this guy was really good, coach. He had me twisted up like a pretzel, and all I could see was this toe in front of me." He said, "It was right in front of my mouth." So I didn't know what to do. I just automatically opened up, and I bit down as hard as I could. And he said, "Coach, it's amazing what you can do when you bite your own toe." We need to bite our own toes. That's why I told you that. I want you to know that sometimes we got to inflict a little bit of pain on ourselves. We've got to become disciplined. If it takes biting my toe, I'm going to bite my toe. I don't care. I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I'm going to seek the Lord God. I'm going to do all that I have to do. I'm going to read daily. I make that commitment. Daily seek the Lord. I want to see the power of God released in this place. I want more testimonies of miraculous healing. I want Mary to rise up and be completely and totally whole in Jesus' name. I want Bud healed completely in Jesus' name. Walking in this place upright and complete and whole. Hallelujah. No, it's not God's problem. God has told us if we can believe, we'll receive. I don't understand this faith thing completely, and we'll talk about this shield of faith. But I know we have to build our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. We have to grow and build and apply and hear testimonies of what God's doing in our lives. Today, I just want to encourage you. Start putting on this armor. Start applying it to your life. Be as tenacious as Caleb was about winning a wrestling match. We're wrestling with an enemy. His desire is to destroy you. If you get serious about this thing, you will win every battle. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Father, I thank you that you're such an awesome God. You guide us. You direct us. You help us, Lord, in all things. You are our strength and our power. Today, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, we call down your blessings upon this congregation. I thank you that you have blessed us wherever we go and whatever we do. Help us to draw closer to you, Lord. If we have to go through some pain for in order to get closer to you, Lord. Help us to do that. We want to win. We want to win for our families. We want to win for our church. We want to win for our community and this nation. We want to be victorious in Jesus' holy name. Lord, I thank you. I praise you and I give you glory and honor for what you're doing among us. In Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Don't forget, I want to meet with the elders and the deacons. If you have, I was going to say healing, but we took care of that this morning. If anybody would like to have healing, the elders will do it. However, if you'd like to have special prayer, we have our prayer warriors will be up here praying for you. Hallelujah. Have an awesome day.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber, and I trust you've been blessed by this week's podcast. Our desire here at Bethel is to connect you to the kingdom of God with inspired and anointed teaching. If you like this teaching and would like to know more about our ministry here at Bethel, please visit our website at bethelwc.org.